Good evening, brothers and sisters. Greetings to you in Jesus' name. Good to see you here tonight. Been looking forward to this time together. And trusting that God is going to work in our midst and that the Holy Spirit is going to work in every heart and that the needs that you have, God will help to meet every need and that God will accomplish his great purposes in the assembly as we seek him together. Tonight, I want to preach from Psalm 40. So if you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to open it to Psalm 40. I'm hoping to go through the entire Psalm. I'm here tonight without my family. Wanted to give you a little update there on what's happening. I'm not sure if you all know, my wife's father, Merv Keller, is in very poor health and has been declining for many years with Parkinson's disease, and it's at a point now where it is just daily life is just very, very difficult. And we're far away. We're not able to give a whole lot of assistance there in terms of our presence and kind of helping with the situation. And my wife and daughters are there tonight, and we'll be there tomorrow to try to give some help and encouragement there with my wife's mother, and also to help take care of her dad. So that's kind of the situation there. Very difficult and very challenging situation. So that's why they're not here, and they are planning to come on Sunday, hopefully be with us the whole day on Sunday. So looking forward to that. That time together. Here in Psalm 40, and if you look throughout many of the Psalms, the book of Psalms is just a beautiful book that shares with us so many of life's experiences, whether they be positive things, whether they be good things, whether they be challenges, whether they be temptations, failures, ups and downs, friends and enemies. There are all kinds of things in the book of Psalms. And if you're struggling in life with trying to figure out yourself and your emotions and some of those things, the book of Psalms is a very, very good place to go to try to gain some perspective and gain some understanding. Some questions for you tonight. Are you facing major problems in your life? Would you say you're facing some pretty big problems, some pretty hard things? Maybe you're overwhelmed by sin, whether it be your own sin or whether you're receiving the consequences of someone else's sin that's impacting your life. Are you in the midst of hard times and struggles? Do you feel like it's very difficult for you to make forward progress in your life? If that is the case for you, any of those things, I want to say this. God is on his throne tonight. God is always on his throne. God is able to work in your life. God is able to meet the needs that you have in your life. He is the God in heaven above and in the earth here beneath. He is the God who can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so if you have very difficult things in your life tonight, this psalm, I believe, will give you hope in the midst of your struggle. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I don't know what you think about when you think about waiting. Waiting is something that for many of us is a sort of a tiresome thing that we don't want to do in most any circumstance. Okay, I'm a fairly impatient person. I'll just be honest with you about that. And so waiting, I don't think of as a positive thing. But when we look in Scripture, waiting on the Lord is actually presented as something positive, something good, something that is beneficial. And it may be a little bit different than what you think of when you typically think of the word waiting. Waiting on the Lord is not a passive state of complete inactivity, where you're doing absolutely nothing and I'm just sitting here waiting on the Lord and hoping the Lord is going to do something. Waiting on the Lord is believing that God is going to answer my prayer and meet my need, even if I do not see it happening yet. I'm waiting on the Lord, and I'm believing that God is going to work. It's confidently trusting God in difficult situations that God is in fact going to make a way out. It's not me taking matters into my own hands and trying to manufacture something on my own, of my own will and of my own flesh, but I am actively doing the things that I know God wants me to do while I'm waiting. I'm active. I'm doing. I'm hanging in there until my help comes from the Lord. I do not lose heart. I do not give up. I do not turn back, but I keep seeking God and His help for as long as it takes, whatever that is, and in the end, God is going to respond. It's calling out to God. You see at the end of this verse, God heard my cry. I cry out to Him for help. Father, help me in this situation. And the cry, it might have tears, it might not have tears, but this cry is from within you, from the depths of your heart, bearing your heart to the Lord and calling on Him to come to your aid. And when we do this, when we wait patiently for the Lord, He does hear our cry and He inclines to us. He moves toward us. He turns toward us. Verse 2. And this is so exciting. Verse 2, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Have you been there in the pit? In a very terrible place, in a very, very ugly, bad place. Think about the clay here, the miry clay. It just kind of latches hold of you and sucks you in, and slippery, you can't get out, you can't escape. And that's the way the devil wants to work with us, is keep us in these pits and in these traps so that we can't get out until ultimately we just die. God is able to bring you out of the hard spot that you are in. God is able to help you with your need. God sees you in your struggle, and you can cry out to Him. God is able to take us from all of our failures, all of our mistakes, all of our sins, all of the wrong things that we have done. God is able to pull us up out of those things with His mighty hand and set our feet on a rock and establish our goings, to set us on solid ground so that we actually can move forward. The pit, like I said, could be your own sins. It could be the sins of other people that you're having to deal with, which are very difficult and troublesome. It could be a health problem. It could be a financial problem. It could be all kinds of problems that you may have. God is able to deliver. God is able to help. God is able to pull you out. And this is actually, this verse has been a verse that I have gone to in my own life. As I consider what God did for me as a young man, marvelous, marvelous things that God did for me. I had some major problems in my life and stuck in some sins and just didn't know how to move forward. But God worked in my life. God changed my life. God saved my soul. He delivered me from sins, from a foul mouth. He delivered me from pornography. He delivered me from laziness. He delivered me from ugliness in my heart. And it wasn't all instantaneous, but it was deliverance. And it was life transforming in me. And I thank God. I thank God for that. I know what David is talking about here. I know exactly what he's talking about. Because it is the story of my life. How about you? Have you seen God bring you out of the pit? And if you're in a pit tonight, I want to tell you for certain that God is able to bring you out. He, in fact, can do it. Any person who sincerely, genuinely, from the heart reaches out to God can find Him. And God will take hold of you and help you. Verse 3, and He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know, when God lifts you up, and he gets you out of the mess that you are in, and He puts your feet on the solid rock, it is a cause for celebration. It's a cause for praise to our God. It gives us a new song that we sing about our experience, what God has done for us. We want to praise Him. We want to give Him glory. I have a question for you this week that we're in. It's Friday. How many days this week did you have a song in your mouth, a song of praise to your God? This week, how many days? This should be a daily experience for us. Should be something that happens as we just consider and ponder the work of salvation, the great work that God has done for us and is continuing to do in our lives. And it's a spontaneous type of thing. Great is the Lord. He's greatly to be praised. Don't ever underestimate the power of your personal testimony and what God has done in your life. And maybe your story isn't as dramatic as some others, but I will tell you this. There are so many agnostics and atheists in this world who don't believe in God. They don't have any real perspective on God whatsoever. However, when they meet a person whose heart and life has been touched by God, and they actually are able to sense, however they do that, the presence and the power of God in your life, it's impressive to them. It is captivating to them. It is something that they can't quite figure out, but it's something that draws them. And you see that here in this verse. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I had a conversation with Aaron here. I think it was maybe the last time I was here or time before, I'm not sure. And I asked him if I could share this tonight. He was telling me about a visit that he had with Morris in the hospital. And when he went in to see Morris, and Morris was on his deathbed, I believe, at that time, if I understand it correctly, Morris was smiling. in the hospital while he was dying, and the reason he was smiling was because of God's forgiveness. It's because he had actually received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and it made all the difference to him. And he had a place in heaven for him. And he was rejoicing because God brought him out of the horrible pit of his sin. And Aaron was telling me, and he had a tear in his eye, and until he was done telling me, I had a tear in my eye. Marveling at God's mercy and his goodness. And Morris knew the Lord. He knew the Lord. And that story of salvation, he was demonstrating it in his life. How about you? Have you experienced God's mighty touch? Have you experienced God's transforming power, the grace of God, God's mercy, and his forgiveness? If you're a new creature in Jesus Christ, you have a reason to sing. You have a reason to praise God. You have your story to tell, and many will see what has happened to you, and they will fear. This word fear here is not the fear of God's judgment, although that is an aspect of fear we understand. But this is the fear of God's amazing power. When they see the power of God at work, they fear, and they also trust in the Lord. Verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. This blessing for the person who trusts the Lord. I was talking a while ago to a man that I've known now for probably 6-7 years. This man and his girlfriend, they have 5 children at this point, and we've had a lot of interaction with these people. He's a man that God did some things for him. God actually did some wonderful things in his life. But they just have not actually, I don't know how to describe it, they haven't really taken hold on the things of God, and they're not pursuing God with all of their hearts. And we've seen over the years, seen them flounder and struggle and not make any visible progress in so many cases. It's just so troubling. I was trying to share with him the concept of the blessing of the Lord, what it actually means to have the blessing of the Lord on your life. And it is beautiful, just completely beautiful. And that blessing comes as we just put our full trust and confidence in God. We turn our lives over completely to God. We follow what God says. We obey his word. We want to do his will. We give him the love that we have in our hearts, and God blesses us, and we experience that. And it is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful thing. And I hope you understand what it is. I mean, I hope you're experiencing that. And if you're not experiencing that, you can experience that. The Lord wants to bless. The Lord wants to be good to you. He wants to help you. He wants to work with you. The blessing of the Lord we receive when God is actually pleased with us. Now, I don't know where you're at on this subject, but do you believe it's possible for you, the person that you are, with whatever good and bad is there, whatever it is, is it actually possible for God to be pleased with you? What do you think? Or are your sin problems too great? And I mean, God might have mercy on you, but he's not going to be pleased with you. What is it? What do you think? It's not a trick question. It's straightforward. Can you please God? Can God actually be pleased with you? He can be. He absolutely can be. Definitely. Just like a human father or mother, when we look at our children, though they may have some things about them, though they need to make some progress, if we see a good heart there and we see a soul that wants to do right, and we experience the love that they have for us, we are pleased. And that's the way it is with God as well. He can indeed be pleased. And we don't turn to the proud. We don't get involved in those things. We reject those things and we move forward in our lives. Verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. There's another psalm there where it says, come and see the works of God. You remember that phrase? Come and see God's work. There's an invitation for you to come. You think about your life today. Are you seeing the wonderful works of God in your life? Are you actually seeing them happen? Is that something that you can express, and where you see great things that God has done for you? There's another thing here that is just beautiful in verse 5. God's thoughts are toward you. God is thinking about you. There's a song, I don't know if you have it in your book here or not, or if you're familiar with it, it's a hymn, Thou Thinkest, Lord, of Me, Amid the Trials Which I Meet. I don't know if you know that one. No. Yeah, it's a beautiful hymn. It talks about, even in my struggles and trials of life, the Lord is thinking upon me. And the Lord is thinking about you. His thoughts are toward you. The marvelous works, verse 5. They cannot be reckoned up in order. We can't count all of them. They're more than can be numbered. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Are your ears open tonight or closed? Are you able to hear the things that God wants you to hear? Are you able to see the things that God is trying to show you? There are times in life, I think, for all of us, where our ears become blocked for a variety of reasons. And here we see that God takes the initiative to work with us to open our ears so that indeed we can hear what He is telling us, so that we can know. We can know what He wants to do. This is interesting here in verse 6. He says, you don't want sacrifice and offering. You do not want burnt offering and sin offering. You haven't required that, God. You've not required that of me. And yet when we look at the Old Testament law, we see very clearly in the Old Testament law that the sacrifices were part of the religious experience of God's people. And so it kind of raises a question, why does David say this? It's kind of along the same lines as Psalm 51, if you remember that one, where David was dealing with his sin. Psalm 51, starting at verse 16 there, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Then he says in verse 19, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. So David here is not so much saying that there's no place for the sacrifice, But the thing that God actually wants is your heart. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for your heart, a broken spirit, a contrite heart, a heart that is in communion with Him. He wants you, and He wants your heart. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Which book is this written in? Says I, it's in the volume of the book. It is written of me. These things, I delight to do your will, and your law is within my heart. Where do you see that as you look at Scripture? What book is he talking about here? I think he's talking about the law of Moses, if I'm not mistaken. And in talking about that, where in that law do we see this concept of the law being in our hearts? Do you remember anything there? It's one passage that stuck out to me. This could be it. Not 100% sure. Deuteronomy 6:6. Part of what they call the Shema. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Then verses 17 and 18 of Deuteronomy 6. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. And I'm wondering if this is not what he is referring to in delighting to do God's will and God's law being in his heart. Verse 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. Simple definition of righteousness. I've shared this here before. Do you remember? Simple, easy to understand definition of righteousness. Being right and doing right. If I am right in my heart and I am doing what is right, that is being righteous. You remember Noah was a preacher of righteousness. David was a preacher of righteousness. Talks about it here. He preached righteousness in the great congregation, and you also should be a preacher of righteousness. Now, this preaching is not so much what we're doing here tonight, although it could be, but this preaching is for every believer, man or woman, whatever it may be, where you are actually telling the story, telling your story of what God has done in your life, to the great congregation, to other believers and even unbelievers beyond. He says, I did not refrain my lips, O Lord. I spoke what you have done. I guess a question for you to consider here. It kind of gives the impression like, I can't hold back. I can't hold back from sharing what you have done, Lord, and your goodness in my life. And I guess that's my question to you tonight. Do you find that is true for yourself? That you need to share what God is doing in your life? I hope so. It really should be that way. It should be where we have some excitement and some enthusiasm for God and His work and our relationship with Him and what He is doing. Verse 10 here, I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Beautiful. Beautiful. You can do this. You should do this. You should be declaring to others these very things. God's faithfulness, God's salvation, the work that he has done in your life, his loving kindness, his truth. He goes on in verse 11 with tender mercies and so on. One of the things that kind of concerns me a little bit, brothers and sisters, and I'll just be honest with you, and I don't know where you are with this yourselves. You can think about it. Do you have any excitement whatsoever about God's work in your life? Is it something that is a delight to you, even to think about and to ponder? And as you look at what God is doing, is it something that you get, your emotions are touched in some way? Or is it just kind of ho-hum and, you know, yeah, God's good and whatever? Is it very dull and very unfeeling and very inconsequential in your life? David was excited. We should be excited about the work that God is doing in our lives. And we should be telling that to others. Verse 11, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. And here we see David looking at the past where God brought him out of the pit, but now David is looking at the present, and as he moves forward in life, he says, God, your loving kindness, your truth is continually preserving me. You are providing for the needs that I have in my life. You are helping me through whatever I face. You are doing great things. Verse 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Now there's a turn here in the text at this verse. I don't know if you noticed that. Up to this point it was, I was in the pit, God delivered me, I'm telling about it, I'm rejoicing in it, I'm praising God, I'm singing the songs of salvation, and so on. Now in verse 12, I'm back in a really bad spot. Okay, there are countless, innumerable evils surrounding me and coming in on me. Even my own iniquities have taken hold upon me. I can't even look up. There's so many, and my heart is failing me. I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure out what's happening here. And I guess the best that I can understand this is David is looking in verse 2 at what God did in the past and how God delivered him. And now, the way life has gone, he's in another fix. And the evils here that he's talking about are present evils and difficulties that he is facing. His iniquities, I'm not sure that he's talking about iniquities that he's committing right here and now, but I think he's looking at some of the sins he's committed in his life, and he's reaping some of the consequences. And it is very, very painful. My guess is he's referring to his sin with Bathsheba and what happened in all of that situation, all the horrible things that David did. And God told him in the end of that that there will be consequences to those things. You're not going to just slide away from that. God forgave him, but there were consequences that continued ongoing. This word evils, as you look at the King James Version, this is a word that we sometimes misunderstand. The word evil is not necessarily sin, but the literal meaning is more so bad or destructive type things, things that are damaging. That's what the word evil means. I'll ask you, this one is a challenging question, but I'm going to ask you this question. Does God do evil? does God do evil? Now, that's right. That's exactly right. So we think of evil, we think of sin, wickedness, corruption. No, God doesn't do that. But when we actually understand the word evil, evil is bad things happening. Okay, God does do that sometimes. If you think about Jonah and the message that Jonah was supposed to preach, what, 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown? And the people repented. And what does it say there? That God repented of the evil which he had intended to do to them. Okay, so that word evil here, David is seeing there are bad things coming in. Okay, there are some really, really bad things that I am facing. And you can almost sense his desperation in this case. He did not know what to do. What can I do in this particular situation? And especially as he considered his iniquities, which were taking hold upon him, what can you do? What can you actually do when you're in this type of a situation? The only thing is what he did. Verse 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. He didn't make a bunch of excuses for his iniquities, whatever they were. He saw the difficult spot he was in, and he called out to God for his help, and he asked God to help him with haste, speedily. Come, Lord, to my aid. And don't ever be afraid to cry out to God. No matter what you have done in your life, do not be afraid to cry out to God, to call out to him and to just share your heart and be honest. God will respond to your sincerity. Verse 14, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. So here we see a little more of the picture. There were actually people that were looking to destroy David. They wanted to bring him down. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to wipe him out. And that's most of us have not had that type of experience, but that's exactly what David was facing. People who had it in their hearts to destroy his soul. David says, let them be ashamed, God. You confound them. You frustrate their plans. You defeat them. And there are various situations that we're going to face in life where we are not able, by our own efforts, to counteract the evil deeds of other people. And so in those situations, we have to call on God to fight our battles for us. We have to call on God to do his work when there is not a work that I am able to do to solve that problem. He says, God, you defend me. You come to my aid. You frustrate what they are doing. You put them to shame. You defeat them. Now, a question. This is a psalm. This is Old Testament. When we look at the New Testament and the teaching that we have in the New Testament, is it appropriate for us as believers in Jesus Christ, Spirit-filled believers, to desire that those who are trying to do evil to us and those who are trying to destroy us, that they would be ashamed, that they would be put to shame? If you look at verse 15, he says, even let them be desolate for a reward of their shame. God, bring desolation upon them. for what they are doing. That say unto me, aha, aha, like, aha, we got you, David. We're going to get you. We're going to take you down. Can a Holy Spirit-filled believer say these verses from your own heart? Then God would be okay with that. Is that something we can do in light of the gospel and the work of God in our lives? Or is this something that was there in the Old Testament where maybe there wasn't the fullness of light and understanding? I'll give you one verse to think about. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." I'll just be honest with you, those are some verses that for me it takes a lot for that to happen. I have to actually, it's just not my natural response. I have to ask God to help me when I want to lash out and I want to bring evil back to somebody who's doing evil to me. I have to ask God to help me get that straightened out. Hopefully as life goes on for me, maybe I can have that be more just the natural response. But it hasn't been that much for me, I'm going to say that candidly. So that's one side. The other side is 2 Timothy 4:14. This is Paul writing. Paul, who was a champion of the gospel, absolutely. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. So here he says is Alexander, this guy who was a coppersmith, was a worker of metals and probably likely someone that would have made idols and that type of thing. He said that he did me a lot of evil, this man. And Lord, I want you to reward him according to what he has done. Now, with what Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount, and with what Paul says, I'm not sure how you see that, but I'll share with you the best that I understand. Well, what I see there is it actually can be both. In our hearts, we should have the desire to see every person come to repentance. And we should be treating them in such a way that that can be motivating them toward that. However, for those who do not repent and those who continue in their sins, it is not wrong for us to desire that they will actually receive the righteous judgment of God, which is what they're going to receive anyway. Yeah, that's not wrong to do that. And so I think here with this particular passage in this psalm, I think we can say similar things. I think Paul would have been delighted to share the gospel with Alexander and see him come to faith. But he did want the things that he was doing to be judged and dealt with. Verse 15, I mentioned there, the shame. It is a shame to come against the people of God. It is a shame to try to lead them back in the wrong path. It is a shame to try to hurt and damage God's children. Verse 16, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." I want you to examine your speech. What is coming out of your mouth on a regular basis? What are the words that are coming out of your mouth? If in your heart you are loving God's salvation, Christ saving you from your sins, you are rejoicing and glad in the wonderful works which God has done for you. It is completely natural It is not something that you will have to manufacture. You will naturally, at least some of the time, be sharing praise to God, giving God glory, magnifying it, as it says here in verse 16, oh, magnify the Lord with me, if you remember that verse. Let us exalt his name together. When you think about your life day after day, are you giving God glory every single day? Are you praising the living God? Is his praise continually in your mouth? Are you rejoicing in the Lord always, day after day? Jesus talked about the abundant life that he came that we could live, that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And I want to ask you today, is that what's happening in your life? Tonight, would you be able, honestly, if you could just be totally honest, would you look at your life and say, I am actually experiencing the abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came for that very purpose, so that I could live abundantly. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you in this. If you're not there, it's not a scold by any means. I want to encourage you. I want you to ponder the great works of God in your life. And if you're still struggling in sin, if you're still defeated, if you're still in the pit, call out to God. Reach out to God. Seek after God. God can work. He can deliver you. He can help you through your difficulties. I just want to testify tonight. I want to give God glory for what he has done in my life. And I want to say this. It's probably been for a number of years now where I praise God for this. I've been experiencing the abundant life in Christ Jesus. I can't say it was always the case in my life. That would not be true. But I am experiencing it, and I am experiencing the joy of the Lord on a daily basis, and praising God and thanking God. And it's not just, you know, making a time and this block I'm going to do. It's just, it happens sporadically, and it happens through various events, but it's what's in my heart, and it's coming out in different situations and circumstances. If you're not experiencing that, I would say there are some things that you can do to begin to see God move you in that direction. Spend time every day just pondering what God has done for you. Just consider, this is what God has done for me in your salvation, in deliverance from sin, the breaking of bondage in your life, God's provision in your life. Go through and consider what God has done in the past and what God is doing for you each and every day. I have so many things as I think about them, and I do think about them often. I don't have any pain in my body. I have the full function at this point of my body and mind. Maybe you do have some limitations. Maybe you do have some problems. And if you do, that's okay. But look at things that God has given you. Okay, look at what God has done for you. Thank God for your home. Thank him for heat in the home. Been working with a homeless man over the past year. Just gives you a whole new perspective on life. Can you imagine living out under the bridge like he was doing? The cold evenings? No, I had a warm house to be in, and I thank God for that. I have good food to eat. I have a great wife. I have three children. I have work that I enjoy. It just goes from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. Go through your things, and then look at the spiritual. The forgiveness of your sins, new life in Jesus Christ. You are pure and clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation now for you as you walk in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God dwells in you. God is meeting every need in your life. You're a child of God, and God is a good Father. Are you able to see what God has done for you? Are you rejoicing tonight? Are you glad tonight that you are a child of God? Are you loving your salvation? Are you magnifying the Lord? Each and every day, brothers and sisters, it is something that you can do. And as you do that, it is going to change your whole perspective on life. Verse 17. But David at this point is still in his need. He's praising God. He knows what God has done. He's magnifying the Lord. He loves God's salvation. But he's recognizing right here, right now, God, I need your help. I am poor and needy, but you're thinking about me. And God is thinking about you tonight. If you're in the pit tonight, whatever your need is tonight, the Lord is thinking about you. I was meeting with a couple this week in my home, and their lives are just a complete wreck. They're in the pit, and they have no idea how to get out. And I told them, I said, there are a couple different issues here. I said, I don't totally understand all of what's going on, but I said, I'll tell you one thing. You need to cry out to God. You need to call out to God for His help so that God can make the difference in your life, because if it's just up to them, I don't think it's going to happen. Okay, God has to do something for them. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 91, 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalm 86, 7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Jeremiah 33, 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Never forget, brothers and sisters. Never forget, friend, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you call out to God, He is able to help you and to bring you out of whatever mess, difficulty, sin, or whatever in your life. God is able to deliver. Hallelujah. He's able, brothers and sisters, call out to Him. That's all I had to share tonight. I'll give you an opportunity here. If there's any response, if you have something you want to share, question or a comment, testimony, will give you an opportunity here to respond.
Hardly see myself in the being there, and hardly see myself in the wavering sometimes, and sometimes feeling like I'm not there. Magnifying the Lord, it's like, yeah, identify with that. And I realize that my drive is to be there, my desire is to be there, and things that come along that are things that wouldn't be stumbling blocks. I talk with the Lord about them as they come, and I just I think that it's sometimes hard to know when you feel like you're torn between those pressures and knowing what you really want, where you really are. Are you totally where you should be? And these stresses are going to always be there. If we get beyond them, you know, tell us if your daily life doesn't involve any of those. you know, it's like, they still have challenges.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And I think we see that here even in the psalm. You know, David was rejoicing, but he had some serious problems. Okay, and he was not ignorant of those problems. Yeah, I guess I would say this, and this is what I've had greater success in my life here in recent years than many other years before, is things that used to really bother me and anger me and frustrate me, God is helping me to take those things more in stride and actually keep them in the proper perspective. I'm not happy about them. I don't think we have to be happy about them. I think we can be frustrated sometimes. We can be upset sometimes. But the question is, when that happens, what do we do? Do I choose to linger in that and wallow in that? Or do I say, wait a second, God has something better for me here. Okay. And it's just, if we can right ourselves when those things happen and actually in our hearts just draw close to the Lord and ask Him, you know, remind us of the things that we really need to focus on, that can work. That really can work. And it is beautiful because some of the things, I'm not going to say this totally, but some of the things for me that used to really frustrate me and upset me, it's not having the same effect, at least in many cases. So I thank God for that. I mean, it's a blessing, definitely. Think of that song. I don't know if you sing that one or not. I Want to Live Above the World. You ever think of that song? And that's not just the world and its bad influences, but just the difficulties of life, period. We can set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. So thank you, brother. It's okay to face some of the... That's real life. I mean, that's fine. Everyone else?
I just wonder, and when you're in this kind of feeling like a dark spot, and His answer is, I have you.
Yeah.
And when we think of having a blessing with God, can't that trial be a blessing?
Oh, yeah.
Not only just feeling that prosperity and all those other things, but if we can actually hold on to the fact that if God has me here, He promises to deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, He has me here. And what is the blessing, like, experience from God in that?
That's right. The trying of your faith works patience. I mean, the fiery trial that Peter talks about that's going to try you, that's very real. And that's very difficult. But there are benefits that come out of that. I think seeing that is extremely helpful. Just to actually see that God is actually working here. I'm not just, you know, not just in this horrible spot and it's never going to get any better. God has a purpose in it. Yeah, very good. Anyone else?
So, what's like the, no perspective, what's the proper way how much am I supposed to produce rejoicing within myself? And how much can I wait on God to produce the rejoicing within?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if you heard the question. So is this something that I'm responsible for making happen? Is that kind of what you... Or is this something that God really needs to do and I need to wait on Him for it to come to pass? I think it's an excellent question. I think I'll open it up first if anyone has a response to that.
To see something, we know something big, and we just wait, hope that someday, No, that's. Well, it's brother.
Okay. Okay, so it's something that has to be exercised. Anyone else?
Still, Mark, great, tomorrow. What if that's God, what are your key reasons to give that God? That makes sense.
Yeah.
God, you was. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think, I don't know if I have a clear answer. That's actually a really good question. I would see it. So one of the things we see in the Psalms especially is this delighting in the Lord. Okay? And so if I'm going to delight in the Lord, I would see that primarily as my responsibility. That, and this would be something happening in my heart, where I'm actually experiencing God's grace, His mercy, His love, His works, and I am very pleased. I'm very happy about that. I'm very glad, as he says here in verse 18, I'm glad at what God is doing. And so it's that reality of experience where God is actually working. And then that more naturally results in spontaneous rejoicing and kind of the overflowing of your heart. I would also agree, I would agree that with Josh that there are times both in our spiritual life, in marriage and in other situations where we need to be doing the thing that we know is the right thing to do, even though I may not totally feel like it. And even though it's kind of seems like it's maybe manufactured, so to speak, but it's still what is right. And so I would see that there is perhaps some of that. But I firmly believe that as we delight in our hearts in the Lord and actually see what God is doing, it is so powerful. It is amazing. I mean, you will be amazed at the great things of God. So I don't know if that answers your question, brother, or if I just skirted around it, I'm not sure. But it is a good question. Anything else? Okay. If not, let's stand together. I'm going to give an opportunity tonight. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll give an opportunity. Have a song, brother, if you want to lead us in a song at the end. It'll be a song of invitation if you want others to pray for you tonight. If you have a problem, you have an issue, you need help, whatever it is, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you want, you can come forward here as we sing. So let's join together in prayer. Brother Melvin, would you pray for us here tonight?
Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the picture that we can see in this song that we talked about this evening of someone who is seeking you. Thank you for the promises that you give to us, promises of answer, promises of help. I want to pray, God, that we would ponder our lives where we are with you and our relationship with you. We will allow you to show us by your Spirit who we are, needs in our lives, and what we need to do about it. So I pray that we all have willing hearts, willing ears, willing to say to us, thank you, God, for this time. We would learn more and more that our hearts, our minds, connect with you, which I love about this book. Thank you for Brother Steve and sharing. Pray that you would go with us as you broke from here and ponder your word, without admonition. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to sing. What number are we going to sing, brother? 36. Yeah, if you'd like prayer, come forward as we sing if you would like to do that. Mm-hmm.